6 and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Grammy nominations are just out.
This ain't Texas. Ain't no hold'em.
Beyonce leads the way with 11, now the most nominated artist in history with 99. Nearly 200 homes have been damaged or destroyed by the raging wildfire in Southern California.
Devastation. I lost everything. The home I was in, I rented for 5 years, and it's completely wiped out.
Forecasters say strong winds in the area should ease up. Five of the injured people needed hospital treatment. Dozens of others arrested after Israeli soccer fans were attacked after a game in the Netherlands.
Amsterdam is under a state of emergency. Protests are being banned. And all of the Jewish institutions in the city, they're increasing the security there.
Reporter Lauren Comito. The FCC says it's joined law enforcement looking into racist text messages sent to black Americans in at least 10 states. CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Senator Baldwin has won a third term in office. Lisa Hale has the story.
Tammy Baldwin delivered her victory speech in Madison, pledging to work with those across the aisle.
We deserve a politics with less vitriol, less division, less hatred, and fewer lies. Actually, no lies. Because it's time that we come together and tackle the problems that are actually facing working people and communities across our state. It's time that we put the politics of division behind us.
Baldwin defeated bank owner and Republican Eric Hovde in her re-election bid for U.S. Senator by just under 29,000 votes, or a margin of 0.9%.
Just last week, the entire state was in a drought. Now, meteorologist Brittany Merlot says things are changing with the recent rain.
Improvements have been made, mainly stretching from Richland Center and La Crosse northeastward through central Wisconsin into the Fox Valley and up north towards Rhinelander. 47% of the state was soaked out of drought conditions over the past week, and now those areas sit abnormally dry. Areas of concern are still focused far north, where 14% of the state is in a severe drought condition, and 41% of Wisconsin still remains in a moderate drought. So we need the rain rolling in this weekend, even though it's expected to be light. Every drop counts. A heavier hitting system takes aim midweek next week, which should help. Plus, Election Tuesday's rainfall wasn't taken into account for this update.
There's a free show in Wisconsin Rapids on Saturday. Mike Edgren and Ken Pilo will present Us, Them in the Lois Canton Theater at WRCT on Saturday at 7. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
UW Women's Volleyball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The UW Women's Volleyball team in Madison at the Fieldhouse against the Iowa Hawkeyes. The Badgers in third place in the Big Ten. College basketball, the Badgers men's team with a 79-67 win over Montana State. Head coach Greg Gard says the Badgers' next game is against the Appalachian State Mountaineers Sunday morning at 11.
Quick turnaround here for App State coming in on Sunday. Another good team. Different than what we've seen maybe for the last couple games, but a little bigger.
NBA, the Bucks with a 123-100 win over the Utah Jazz. Andre Jackson Jr. getting his first start, helping out on defense, Damian Lillard.
I thought he had a great game. Disruptor, energy, that's just the kind of player he is, and I think, you know, they felt his presence out there tonight.
The Bucks' Gary Trent Jr. only playing 8 minutes before dropping out in the first half.
Back spasms, yeah. I saw him running down the floor in the second quarter, and I turned and said, he's not running normal. I saw that.
That's the Bucks' Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
A picture-perfect sunny day today, with high temperatures warmer than they should be for November, reaching the mid-50s. And we'll be waking up to mostly cloudy skies tomorrow, with light rain rolling in by the afternoon. Chances of rain linger on and off Sunday, and leaves our highs for the weekend in the low 50s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 49.
The
The Todd Alba Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Maggie Dawn.
Matt Rothschild guest hosts the Maggie Dawn Show, and he'll be joined by Terry Barr for what's good local and overlooked in Wisconsin.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. He joins us every Friday at this time. He is the author of The Recombobulation Era and Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer, is here. Good morning, Dan. How are you doing?
Good morning to the fine folks of Matinair on Air. How are you?
We are well. We're glad it's Friday.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful,
for sure.
It's a beautiful, beautiful day. If you have an opportunity to get outside today, do so. Open up some windows and breathe some of that nice fresh fall air. We're going to start off, though, with where is he? It's like, where's Waldo? Where is California guy Eric Hovde?
Where is Eric Hovde? That is the only really remaining question that we have after the Tuesday's election results. You know, we're combing through all of the legislative races. I had a piece about those at the Recombobulation Era yesterday. We're all sorting through the data and figuring out what happened and trying to find things we can learn from. And I'm writing a big post-election recombobulation piece that we're piecing all of these things together. The only real question that's remaining from this is, what's going on with Eric Hovde? Why has he not conceded yet? The AP called this race almost 48 hours ago.
Yeah.
At this point. And it has been complete radio silence from the Republican challenger. And, you know, as I've been kind of crunching some of these numbers, I noticed that Donald Trump won Wisconsin by 0.86%. And Tammy Baldwin also won Wisconsin by 0.86%.
The same percentage?
The same percentage, which is just wild. But also, everybody is acknowledging that Donald Trump won in Wisconsin, right?
Right.
And so by an identical margin, Tammy Baldwin also won in Wisconsin, but we have not heard anything from Eric Hovde as of yet. I think it's getting in. If he doesn't concede today, we're getting into problematic territory.
Really?
Look at this. We had so much turmoil over the past few years in the state of Wisconsin with people not accepting the election results. We had all these conversations in the run up to the election about, you know, what might happen if you know, it's close again and Trump challenges the election results. You know, what exactly is going on with Hovde at this point? Is this an anti-democratic, small d democratic type of position that he's taking here? It's just bizarre. It's just very bizarre.
Well, honestly, I mean, if anyone is shocked, I don't understand why. I mean, not a single Republican who was running or sitting or any sort of power would answer the question throughout the election, which was, will you accept the results of the 2024 election? They would always hem and haw. Oh, well, you know, we'll have to see. So the fact that Hovde is mirroring what would have been the same thing Trump has done and would have done is of no shock to me. And plus, it doesn't keep her from being in power anyways. So to me, this just speaks to how, I don't know, terrible of a candidate he was. You know, you stand up. You want to represent Wisconsin? You just stand up. You lost? You lost. Move on.
Move on. Exactly.
You're still rich. You still have a bunch of houses.
Life is still pretty good for you.
Yeah.
Milwaukee Journal Sentinel says Hovde has not yet called for a recount. In a post on social media, Hovde said he's watching the final precinct results come in and will continue to monitor returns and make sure that every vote is counted. In an election,
that tweet was 48 hours ago.
Yeah, that was Wednesday.
You know, yeah.
In an election with more than 4,000 votes, which applies to Baldwin and Hovde's race, the trailing candidate can demand a recount when the margin is no more than 1% of the total votes cast. There is no automatic recount in Wisconsin, even if the unofficial results are extremely close. If the margin between the two is 0.25% or less, the state pays for it. If the margin is above 0.25%, the campaign has to pay for it. Under the current margin, Eric Hovde would be the one who would have to pay for the recount.
Right. But again, it's an almost identical margin to what Trump won by. And it's an almost identical margin to what Ron Johnson defeated Mandela Barnes by. 2 years ago, you know, right in that kind of right in between 25,000, 30,000 votes. And, you know, Mandela Barnes conceded in a speech the very next day. I get my why it might take an extra day with more votes in a presidential year. Okay.
Right.
We've had that extra day now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at this point, he needs to step forward and say something and concede this race. He lost to Tammy Baldwin. It was a very close race, but he lost. And, you know, Democrats in Wisconsin are acknowledging that Trump won, and the margin is not different than the one that Tammy Baldwin won by.
It really
we have extraordinarily close elections in Wisconsin.
It really would be something, though, if he came and he tried to challenge it when the margins are the same. That would be laughable.
It would be. I guess it wouldn't be entirely all that surprising. It was just like you guys mentioned, it was a lot of this hemming and hawing, and you're just like, well, if the election's, you know, done correctly, blah, 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 here and that. But it's just there's no indication, and nobody is raising any red flags about anything. We've had time now. Everybody's reported those results. Some of them came in very, you know, some of them took a while. There's a lot of votes in a presidential year. Wisconsin set records for turnout this year. But he didn't win, and he needs to come forward and say something.
I mean, he doesn't, though. He doesn't have to. He's not compelled. That's right. And I'm not saying he shouldn't, but if she retains her seat and there's no, like, there's
she
no
already gave an acceptance speech.
Mandated handshake right. between opponents, he doesn't have to do anything. It speaks volumes to his character and who he yeah. tried to represent himself as trying to be our senator. But yeah, I think honestly, I think what Eric Hovde is probably doing is hoping that we just, you know, lose interest in everything that's going on. And then he gets to just get on his private plane and go back to California where he owns some land on an ocean.
Well, he's already back in California. Come on.
Fair point. That was the best right. thing, Dan, is when you posted that question a couple of days ago about the concession, that response of, well, to be fair, he's 2 hours behind. That was the most perfect
so
burn.
Good.
Oh, chef's
so
kiss. But yeah, I mean, this is how they act. They, you know, never before 2020 was the question asked, will you accept the results? Because you always accepted the results. It was just a foregone conclusion. Reagan, but Bush accepted the results and said, congratulations, Clinton, you won. Going forward and back. But now they don't have to. And they get to be all in their little victorious bubble, even if they lost. Like, well, I don't have to say anything. It's so petty.
Yeah. And I think we're seeing, you know, there's something happening in Pennsylvania right now with their Senate race. I think there was some confusion about some ballots from Philadelphia. But, you know, it seems like Bob Casey, the Democrat Bob Casey, also lost that race.
It does.
And
yes.
And, you know, the AP made the call on that one. He should concede, too.
Yeah.
Like, know, I think it took longer in Pennsylvania. Because of that, but there's, again, I was looking into that too. There's really not any indications that it is going to go Bob Casey's way. And I know they are fighting it and looking at close margins there, but there's really no indication that it should be any different there either.
Well, and I have to wonder too, if Donald Trump hadn't won, would Dewey Strobel then say this election was rigged and I didn't lose?
Yeah.
Really?
Did you guys see his statement from yesterday?
I missed it.
Let me guess. It was accepting and professional and not anything like Dan Kelly's concession speech when he lost the judge's seat.
It did kind of, now that you mention it, there are some similarities there. I'm going to pull up one line from what Senator, soon to be former state senator,
Dewey Strobel.
He lost the district, and so this was a district that Ron Johnson won by nearly 3% 2 years ago, and responded by complaining that part of the district includes, quote, an area whose constituents have elected Congresswoman Gwen Moore.
Boy, if that ain't code, I don't know what is.
Subtle. My goodness.
Wow, Dewey. You dropped this on the floor. This is your overt racism that you tried to hide. Sorry, buddy. Wow. Former Senator Dewey Strobel. That just feels good to say. Soon to be. I don't know. It just...
Certainly one of the silver linings of election night was Dewey Strobel losing that race and state Senate Democrats sweeping the five contested races in that particular chamber.
But again, I wonder if they would have all the Republicans who were defeated, if Donald Trump had lost.
Yeah,
I bet they would be screeching that we need a recount and this was rigged and I actually won. But since their guy won, they can't come out now and say, well, mine was rigged, though.
Yeah,
right. It was just me.
A lot of people made a mistake while filling out their ballots.
Well, and that's amazing that Ron Johnson won that same district that Dewey Strobel just lost.
Right.
And then he can come forward and say something like that.
Well, I mean, the numbers.
Well, and it was a true swing district. It was won by both Tony Evers and Ron Johnson. And, you know, it was going into this race. It had a slight Republican lean. It was going to be look like one of the most, you know, closely competitive state Senate districts on the map. Probably the most likely Republican victory of the five that were on the board there. And Jody Habersenikin, to her credit, ran a great campaign and was able to flip that district for the, you know, a district that has been a long, long, long time Republican held district in the state Senate.
Well, and again, we were talking earlier, too, about I think the one bright spot certainly is that our legislators are going to have to work with each other now, or at least try. Because they don't have a supermajority, and now people expect them to accomplish things. Gee, what a thought. And everybody's going to have to make some concessions. Right?
Yeah, there's going to have to be a little different level of accountability for some of these state senators in these very, very, very close seats. You know, as I went through and did kind of my processing of the election results yesterday, you know, there were a couple really, really close ones, especially in the Fox Valley and Green Bay, place that I focused a lot of attention on in the final weeks of the campaign there. Republican Dean Coffert won in the Nina Menasha district by just about less than 400 votes. In the Brown County district that included De Pere, Republican Ben Franklin defeated Democrat Christy Welch by just over 200 votes. Really, really close races. Yeah, so we're still processing a lot.
Don't ever tell you your vote doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Every vote counts.
Exactly.
We're going to continue recombobulating with Dan Schaefer. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide, potentially global Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Join our advertising family on WFHR and WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
Wisconsin has many state symbols, but did you know there's an official ballad?
Oh, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, Land of My Dreams, composed by Sherry Sarazin.
I don't think it was an hour, and I had the music matched up.
With long-ago help from her grandmother.
She wrote a poem in the late 1920s about where she lived in Wisconsin.
And it's now the state ballad. So are these also official Wisconsin symbols? The kringle, wood violet, American water spaniel? The answer coming up. The official process can take years and includes advocating the legislature to make it law. Now, along with the official ballad, are the kringle, wood violet, and American water spaniel also state symbols? Yes, each is a celebration of the state and a slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Time to lace up those skates with 105.5 WIRI and your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings. Join us for every home game this season. Take the pride in your team like they do each other. As Coach Paul says,
you got to have everybody buying in, and you got to be playing for the logo.
Hear insights from Coach on Playmakers Mondays at 5:30 on WFHR, and join us for every home game on 105.5 WIRI. Support the boys of winter as they build hockey up and down the river. Game on!
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can join us. You can call. You can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. About a half an hour from now at 11:51, we will wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Let's Go Yachting edition. If you ever have a thing that should not be, send it into Greg and me at Jane Says, JaneSays. Jane Says at civicmedia.us. He joins us every Friday at this time, the author of The Recombobulation Era and also Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer. We were just talking about the invisible Eric Hovde. Hasn't been seen or heard of since Wednesday. Tammy Baldwin's already given her acceptance speech for her reelection to the U.S. Senate. And Eric Hovde has done nothing. Not even a squeak.
I said to Jane before, Dan, we've checked all the lakes. All the axe-throwing establishments have been looked upon. No Eric Hovde in sight.
Yep, nowhere to be found. What else are you discovering as we look back at the election from Tuesday?
Yeah, much to recombobulate with as we kind of digest these numbers. I think one thing that is interesting for Wisconsin in this is that, you know, nationally, this was a red wave election.
Absolutely.
It was, you know, if you look at the shift in the map from 2020 to 2024, I think all but like maybe one or two states shifted towards Republicans in the last 4 years. This is part of an international trend that has been against incumbents around the world in kind of this post-pandemic environment that we're in. But Wisconsin almost defied this trend. And I think this is kind of an encouraging point for Wisconsin Democrats going forward, because Wisconsin, of the seven swing states, Harris did the best in Wisconsin. You know, as we mentioned before the break, the margin was less than 1%, adding yet another presidential election decided by a less than 1% margin. Now five of the last seven presidential elections decided by a less than 1% margin.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's just, this is where Wisconsin is right now. But Wisconsin almost defied these trends, actually voted to the left of Michigan and Pennsylvania for the first time since 1988.
Wow.
Which is pretty remarkable. Kamala Harris won more votes in Wisconsin in 2024 than Joe Biden did in 2020. So there are encouraging signs for Wisconsin at the end of the day here. And I think it just, you know, reflects that there was a pretty solid operation. Tammy Baldwin won, You know, there were wins in the state Senate, gains in the state assembly, and, you know, came closer than any other swing state to a Democratic victory at the top of the ticket. Ultimately, of course, it wasn't enough. A resilient, respectable loss is still a loss.
Right.
Nonetheless, Donald Trump is now the only Republican to win Wisconsin since Reagan. Now he's done it twice. And so there are, you know, it's tough to take any positive signs from a loss, close as it might be. But Wisconsin, of all of the swing states, came the closest to defying the national trends.
John from Hubert is texting in. He says, as we move forward, I think Wisconsin is in a place much better than other states. What depresses me is half of Americans.
Disappointment. Jane and I were talking about this earlier. Is like, right now there's not a lot of anger. It's more disappointment. I'm disappointed. But North Carolina also really showed a blue wave in its statewide elections as well. But Kamala Harris also lost there as well. I feel like, you know, and I'm not putting this upon you, Dan, but you are a writer. I feel like there's going to be a book written about the 2024 election because the numbers are so fascinating when you really dig deep. That number of Harris getting more votes than Biden, but still losing to Trump. Trump got less votes in 2024 than he did in 2020. And for the first time, he actually won the popular election. First time out of three, not bad, 33%. That's still failing. But it's all of these numbers, once you crunch them through, you want to think that election night's just going to be a straight train victory for someone, but there's a lot of nuance within these votes.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, as we talk about some of the places where Democrats did well, you know, increased margins or at least kind of held serve, right? Democrats increased margins in Wisconsin, at least in the Wow counties, probably not as much as I was expecting, frankly. But they did increase margins in the Wow counties. Kind of held serve in the Bow counties, Brown, Outagamie, and Door counties. The shift there was, you know, maybe like 1% towards Republicans, which again, in a red wave year, can kind of be looked at as a success. But the places where Trump did especially well, and especially well compared to 4 years ago, there's a real cluster of counties in southwestern Wisconsin. Lafayette, Iowa, Crawford, and Grant counties were four of the five counties that shifted the most towards Trump. In many cases, like a 5 or 6 point shift.
Wow.
From 2020 towards Trump. So a lot of those particular counties, and even in La Crosse County, which, you know, voted majority Democratic, La Crosse County shifted pretty significantly towards Trump too, by like a 4 point margin. And so. You know, in western Wisconsin, that is really where the Democrats are not doing well. And this is places like those four counties that I mentioned, those were all won by Janet Protasiewicz in the 2023 Wisconsin Supreme Court race. And so there is, it is not just an issue of a red wave year or something indicative of President Joe Biden's unpopularity. Their voters in this region are just not buying what Democrats are selling, and the Trump era Republicans are reaping the benefits. And you know, even as I think Democrats in the long term can look to make gains in the Wow counties, look to make gains in the Bow counties, they have to stop the bleeding in western Wisconsin. Otherwise, these Trump plus 15 counties are going to be Trump plus 30 counties in 4 years.
There's a lot of work to do. Dan Schaefer joins us every Friday from the recombobulation area and Civic Media's political editor. Thank you so much, Dan. We'll see you next week. News is next. Keep it here. Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wheels up and we'll be rocking. Getting out of frozen Wisconsin. I need you to recombobulate me.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Tome for the Todd Allball Show.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kaye. Democrats were hoping to gain a majority in the state legislature with new maps. That didn't happen, but they did flip some seats in both the state assembly and the Senate. Until Governor Evers came into office, Republicans had free rein in choosing which policies to push forward. But Evers changed that dynamic overall. One of the biggest upcoming policy issues is the next state budget. From K-12 education to funding local government, the UW system, and corrections, it impacts every Wisconsinite. UW Green Bay scientist David Halpap.
There's no doubt that Republicans still have the majority and they can sort of proceed in that fashion. But I think perhaps some folks will be thinking about the next election cycle and maybe the implications of specific decisions that they'll be making during this budget process.
Democrats flipped at least 10 assembly seats, and now the Senate will have 18 Republicans, 15 Democrats. They're hoping this lays the groundwork to take the majority in 2026. 56 workers are going to be laid off starting in mid-January in Chippewa Falls. Here's Stuart J. Waddles.
Molson Coors is hopping out of Chippewa Falls. The company announced yesterday the closure of two Leinenkugel brewery operations, including the historic Chippewa Falls facility and the 10th Street Brewery in Milwaukee. They'll be consolidating that work at their State Street Brewery in Milwaukee. The company is assuring that the change set to take effect in January will not impact the beer supply. The company does say they'll continue to operate the Liney's Lodge and the tourist elements of the Chippewa Falls operation.
The Veterans Day Spaghetti Dinner is on Sunday at VFW Post 2534. It's just $12 for an all-you-can-eat spaghetti dinner with all the fixins. It's from 4:30 to 7 p.m. on Sunday, November 10th. I'm Melissa Kaye for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Thinking about heading to the theater this weekend? Here are some films that might be up your alley. Hugh Grant stars in Heretic, a film about two young missionaries who knock on the wrong door and end up fighting for their lives in a house owned by the nefarious Mr. Reed, played by Grant. The film is getting mad reviews at 94% on Rotten Tomatoes. Check out another film in wide release this week called Weekend in Taipei. It has kind of a Mr. and Mrs. Smith feel to it, but reviews are very mediocre so far. If you want to get a jumpstart on your holiday movie watching, you have two choices. Best Christmas Pageant Ever is being released wide and pulling in 86% on Rotten Tomatoes, but has a 100% favorable audience score. Another Christmas film in limited release this weekend is Christmas Eve in Miller's Point, a comedy drama starring Michael Cera and Elsie Fisher, where a family descends on their home for the final time. The film is currently getting an 86% on Rotten Tomatoes. If you're scoring at home, that sounds like four winners to me, so let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
A picture-perfect sunny day today with high temperatures warmer than they should be for November, reaching the mid-50s. And we'll be waking up to mostly cloudy skies tomorrow with light rain rolling in by the afternoon. Chances of rain linger on and off Sunday and leaves our highs for the weekend in the low 50s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 49.
Hello, doorman. I have questions. Word around Wisconsin Rapids is that DoorWorks is the business to ask about all things doors.
Why, yes. For over three decades, we've been the premier door service provider in Wisconsin Rapids and the surrounding areas.
What services do you provide? And can I order a custom style or color?
We supply, install, and service a variety of doors. If we don't have it in stock in our large warehouse, we customize the style, color, and more. Call DoorWorks for a free estimate today.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison, home of the Big Win and Madison Casino Guru, is transforming guests into winners, making an ordinary day into a big win day is easy with a 95% average payout. And with over 140 daily jackpots, the number of people winning has never been bigger. So what are you waiting for? Escape to Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison for your next big win.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we explore the career of the great John Candy. And it's a bar band Friday night, so our friend and Max Inc. radio host Terry Barr drops by with new music and fun conversation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
We're stuck in second gear.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, the board lord, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can join us. You can call. You can text. The number's the same, 855-752-4842. We'll leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. Coming up in about 15 minutes. As usual, we'll wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. This is Let's Go Yachting Edition. We did have a text come in that I wanted to share. West from Middleton, a second Trump term, a trifecta in Congress, and lifetime control of the Supreme Court. Project 2025 being enacted seamlessly. How's that for something that shouldn't be a thing?
Wow, thanks, Wes.
Wes, you're not wrong. But we do try to make it a little lighter. A little bit. We're trying.
Thank you.
Trying. If you were one of the many people who were disgusted with Jeff Bezos' Washington Post.
Oh, God.
And the failure to endorse a presidential candidate, and you would like to subscribe somewhere else.
Yeah.
I highly suggest the Philadelphia Inquirer.
Yes. Also his despicable tweet the day after.
Yeah. Well, he's got money to make and tax cuts to look forward to.
Good Lord
so
knows
you gotta play. You got to play on the right side.
If Trump wasn't elected, he'd be poor.
Oh, I know.
That so poor.
That poor Bezos. That poor Jeff Bezos. But Will Bunch is a columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer. He is brilliant.
Yes.
And we're going to share some of his thoughts with you in just a second. Mark from Prairie du Sac is on the line. Mark, thank you for your patience. Thank you for joining us. What did you want to say?
Not a problem. Yeah, and the good news here in Sauk County and the 40th Assembly District and the 14th Senate District, both won by Democrats. Sarah Kiesker is my new senator, and Karen DeSanto is going to be my new assembly person. But I did have Diane Hesselbein and Dave Constantine, both good Democrats there. So, I mean, that's, and the, you know, the lack of a supermajority now in our Wisconsin Assembly and Senate is good news.
It is.
That good old Eric Hovde, I mean, that I'd like to call the man and call him and say, well, you know, go back to California, go ahead and you know, enjoy your luxury life and your mansion on the beach there, you know, that because he's not really truly a Wisconsin. It just disgusts me that he did as well as he did. That, and another thing that is really getting me is this, and I thought I just had misheard it, but, I mean, apparently all these young men, you know, Trump supporters are so shouting, your body, my choice, at women. And,
yeah.
How that is even acceptable today is just beyond me. I mean, that how do we support our not just young women, but little girls and young women and older women, that when we have this kind of attitude out there that I thought we would have gotten rid of. I mean, I'm just...
Well, that's where Mark, unfortunately, you know, we are all going to have to step up for folks.
Yeah.
If we see something happening in public, unfortunately, we're going to have to step up and defend people who are vulnerable.
Yeah. I mean, and unfortunately, Mark, the thing is, how could it happen? It's because a man stood on stage and allowed it to be normalized. He made very clear what he thinks of women, and people agreed with it, or at least defended it in saying locker room talk, and men were emboldened. Young men were emboldened to say exactly how they feel, and they're not holding back, and no one's holding them accountable because there are no consequences.
And I think too, Mark, I think, and not without justification, there has been backlash about being too sensitive,
mm-hmm.
right? People not being able to say anything without offending somebody.
Yeah.
But I think now the pendulum is swinging to the other side where, well, now I have the freedom to say anything.
And if you don't like
And no matter how offensive it is, no matter how destructive it is, and that's just the way it is.
And deal with it if you don't like it.
Exactly.
Sorry. Yeah, it's despicable, Mark, and it's upsetting. And Jane, you are right. People are going to have to make choices on, you know, stepping up, stepping in, raising their voice. And I don't advocate any sort of violence. But if defense is needed, sometimes people are going to have to step in if someone's in trouble. Because you can't stop these people. Because most of them live on the internet.
Yeah, there's a lot of living on the internet.
Yeah.
Which isn't healthy. Thank you so much, Mark. Always appreciate you checking in and always appreciate you listening. Matt from Middleton is on the line. Good morning, Matt. Thank you for joining us. What did you want to say?
Hey, guys. I'm truly saddened and not exactly shocked, but just let down by human nature. I'm 48 years old. I grew up in Miami, Florida in the 80s, very ethnically diverse. I grew up loving that, the cultures, the differences, the happiness. And when I moved to Wisconsin when I was 11, I noticed how quiet and subdued people of color in Wisconsin were. Even at a young age, I noticed how being that minority group was different here. And my father had a lot of friends, wealthy white businessmen types, and he was part of a car club, an auto club. And when Barack Obama got elected, suddenly they started using monkey this, monkey that, the N-word. And my father was horrified, so he lost friends over it and this and that. But what it taught me was that my illusion of America being better about race was torn apart by Trump. And I realize now that it's worse than I even thought. It's all the rise in white militia groups under Trump, the violence they espouse, the degrading of others. And you are spot on to say that we are going to have to step up and protect these people.
Yeah.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, Matt.
Appreciate it. I understand. I think a lot of people are feeling that way. But again, we have to try and find some glimmers.
Yeah.
We got to find some hope.
And Matt, good on your father, too, for stepping away from
his toxic.
Absolutely. That's hard to do, especially for men, to lose friendships. But your father made the right choice, and he made the better choice. So,
Laura from Wisconsin Rapids texting in, listening on WFHR. People like to call themselves allies. Now's the time to prove it.
Yep.
That's a really good point, Laura. Again, back to the Philadelphia Inquirer.
Yeah.
And Will Bunch. He has a column that I think is really important for us all to keep in mind. He said, I'm hearing from so many friends and family in Greater Philly and on social media about people being isolated. People just, they don't want to deal with it. So they're just turning away and isolating themselves. People are leaving Twitter in droves, partly to protest Elon Musk, but mostly to disengage from politics, at least for now. One boomer woman who threw herself into politics in 2016 wrote me Thursday to say she's done. She said, protesting Trump was an utter failure. I'm tired, demoralized, and bitter. And I think a lot of people feel that way. And we need to feel our feelings.
Yes.
Suppressing them, ignoring them, pretending they're not there is not the answer. If you feel angry, feel angry. If you're tired, go, you know, get some rest. But we need to feel these feelings. And at the same time, there are things we can do. You can take those feelings and channel them into something. And it doesn't have to be politics.
No. Can be if you want.
It can be if that's what you want, but it doesn't have to be politics. So Will Bunch spoke with Yale University historian Timothy Snyder, who says the important thing right now is for people to avoid isolation and get around other people.
Yeah.
Authoritarians want people to feel alone. Isolation feeds the feeling of powerlessness that allows the regime then to do anything it wants unimpeded.
Yeah.
Nobody is going to fix this alone. That's not how this works. And here's where it's really important, I think. This is a good time to figure out what you're good at. To find some little zone, whether it's your library or your garden club or your trade union, take something positive that you know and do it.
Yeah.
And also, if you feel powerless and hopeless against the big national machine, you can still work for change on the state and local level. That's where things happen that really affect you almost immediately.
Correct.
On the state and local level, within your community, within your township, within your state. We've seen what we did in Wisconsin.
Sherry from Horicon called and said she wanted to get involved. I remember that too. And I think that's very important. I think with regard to the talk of the woman, the older woman. I don't want to call her a boomer, but she's older. Yes, protesting Trump. Yes, working to seek that he wasn't elected did not work in the long run. The it didn't succeed. But you also can't let that challenge embitter you to the point where you are kept from ever doing it again. You can't let the hope of other candidates who want to bring forth change be dimmed by the fact that it didn't work this time. Take your licks, go home.
Take a rest, take a break.
Go do what you need to do.
Yes.
But be ready to fight for another cause. And it might be a aldermanic race. It might be a county supervisor race.
School board,
especially.
So important now.
You don't have a kid, that doesn't mean you can't be involved in the school board. In fact, if you don't have a kid, you can still serve on the school board because you are still affected by the schools and the educational system and the taxes. But find yourself something and find yourself your people, and maybe even because of this, a new family, a new chosen family, because this election ripped a lot of families apart too.
It did. He also suggests, and he calls it a dumb little idea,
which I disagree with, but I get it.
I think a lot of folks will disagree. He said, take a moment and write down a letter about the things that you care about, that you're willing to take a stand about. Write those things down, put it in an envelope, and take it out as we're going to be going through these things.
Mm-hmm.
So take a moment and write down all the things that you care about and you're willing to take a stand about.
Yeah.
And put it away, and then you can pull it out to remind yourself as we go through the months and weeks and years ahead.
Yeah.
As Will Bunch said, we're going to need each other, whether it's in the streets or just at the dog park.
Yeah.
And remember that you and we are not alone.
We are not alone. You are not alone.
You're not alone. And if you feel that way, and if you feel you need some help, 988.
Yes.
Take advantage of it. 988.
Or text HOPELINE, HOPELINE, to 741741. But
Tony, on the live stream, get rest, but don't quit. If you quit, they win. Trump's win wasn't an end. It's just a next step in the American story. Focus on where the future steps land.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, it's very, very hard to find glimmers of hope. It's very, very hard to find happiness right now. And for those who think we're being hyperbolic, leave me alone, because I get to feel my feelings.
Yes.
But in the days that come, in the weeks and the months, we'll find more of it. We'll find more purpose. We'll revisit our purpose. And in the meantime, just be good to yourself. Be good to yourself. That's hard to do.
It is hard to do sometimes.
Especially you Midwesterners. We're not good at being good to ourselves. So, yeah.
Alicia, on the live stream, I'm feeling the failure and like we won't pull out of this. And if we don't do something, the Dems who lost here in Northeast Wisconsin are planning to keep on working. And that's what you do.
There it is.
Yep. That's what you do. All right.
Yeah.
We're going to wrap things up. Lighten it up.
Yeah.
It's Friday.
I feel like, Jane, do you want to go boating?
This shouldn't be a thing. Let's go yachting edition.
We got a yacht this time?
Well, I might have stretched that a little bit. All the details.
Stretch the boat.
Stretch the boat. All the details for This Shouldn't Be a Thing coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. 97.5 FM WFHR would like to sincerely thank all of the sponsors who have helped keep Pet of the Week on air for all the animals at the Southwood County Humane Society. Thanks to this program, the shelter receives help, the community stays informed, and animals find their forever homes. If you would like to help and be a sponsor of the show, please call 715-496-0710. From everyone at WFHR, thank you for being a part of this great show, Thursdays at 9 a.m.
Luann Goetz is your local Wisconsin Rapids Medicare specialist. For over 27 years, she's been helping individuals find the right Medicare coverage and is dedicated to ensuring you get the best plan for your needs. If you're nearing Medicare age or considering a switch, let Luann guide you through the process. With her personalized service and commitment to your health, you are in safe hands. Your Medicare peace of mind starts with Luann Goetz. Call 715-424-4393 today or visit ticinsurance.com.
The timing is historic. The launch of WFHR Radio happened at the same time residents cast their votes in a pivotal presidential election. It was November 1940. Wisconsin Rapids Daily Tribune newspaper publisher William F. Huffman believed radio could provide live entertainment and information to the community. The station officially on air November 5th, and just in time for election results. Democratic incumbent President Franklin D. Roosevelt announced to serve an unprecedented third term. A dedication 5 days later included a celebration, and the public joined in on the event. 84 years later, WFHR continues to be a treasured voice in the community and again celebrates on-air success at the same time as another important presidential election, this time in 2024. Join me in congratulating WFHR for 8 decades of broadcast excellence. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our home at Radio Park here in Racine. You can join us, you can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. I just wanted to back to what we were talking about before, about being there for each other.
Yeah.
Feel what you need to feel, but we have to move forward. Try and find something positive. And Tom from Jackson texted in, listening on WAUK. He said, Jane, how about focusing on the upcoming spring judicial race?
Yes. Oh, we will be.
That's a great, great point, Tom. Yeah. We will have another Supreme Court opening, the Wisconsin Supreme Court, in April. We will be going back to the polls.
Yep.
Let's not undo the progress that we've made by getting Janet Protasiewicz on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Let's not elect another Republican who will then undo the fair maps that we just got.
And then do it again the next year. And let's not have a Supreme Court that goes back and forth and back and forth.
We're all exhausted.
Yeah.
All right. It's 11:52. That means, Calvin, it is time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me. At Jane Says at civicmedia.us, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S. Jane Says at civicmedia.us from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Claire Reed. Headline reads, Coast Guard says crane may be needed to move boat stranded near Bradford Beach since October 13th. After nearly 4 weeks stuck in the sand, folks might be wondering if the abandoned boat near Bradford Beach is simply here to stay. The 33-foot Chriscraft Roamer ran aground behind the rock wall between a restaurant and McKinley Marina on October 13th when the owners ran out of gas. They ran out of gas, and so they left their 33-foot boat there?
Okay, you know what? That's a nice-looking boat. I won't lie. I just want to see...
It is a nice-looking boat. That's a pretty big boat.
That's a boat I would definitely flee the country in.
No one was hurt in the incident. Officials say they didn't immediately move the boat, because no lives were in danger and it wasn't blocking any federal waterways. The Coast Guard says they're working with a commercial towing and salvage company to remove it, though the owners, I would hope, are responsible for hiring and paying the salvage company. They had hoped to get it moved by October 20th, but high winds and waves has repeatedly made that impossible. Thursday morning, the U.S. Coast Guard said high winds this week, too, further pushed back retrieving the boat. And now they may need a crane to get it out since it is lodged so deeply into the sand.
This boat, I'm just looking it up right now, that someone decided to leave, cost anywhere between $99,000 and $250,000. Wouldn't you love to have leave your boat on the beach money like that, where like 250 grand, I'll buy a new one.
And they ran out of gas?
That's just poor planning, all right?
I mean, come on.
That's just dumb.
I am baffled.
Also, and you disagree with me, and I understand why you disagree with me, but Jane, I know science. I feel like just get like 10, 20 people down to the beach, give it a good heave-ho.
I don't know that that would quite work.
Put it right back in the water.
The Coast Guard says, again, they need a crane.
Yeah.
Because it is sunk so deeply into the sand. In the 25 days it's been stranded off of Bradford Beach, the boat has caught the attention of social media. No surprise.
We that bored.
Passerby and local media. Someone even put an eye closed Walski sticker on it, which is an iconic Milwaukee bar.
Oh, yeah.
When the boat was first abandoned, a kayak was on board. Somebody stole it, or it was recovered by the owners. Who are these people? I want to talk to these people.
Jane, they're idiots. And also, here's the thing is, if they 25 days, it'll probably be another couple days before they get to it. A crane to get rid of it. It's going to be put into impound because it's been abandoned, which means it's going to go up for auction, and someone's probably going to buy it for like 10 grand.
Ooh, we'll have to watch out for that.
Right?
Civic Media could use a boat.
Civic Media.
Hey, Sage,
can we...
Can we get a boat?
Can we get a boat, please? I found one. It's on the beach. It's ours if we just get there first.
All right, that does it for today's episode of...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
The Let's Go Yachting edition. Coming up on Monday, if you have heard him, you will want to join us. Mr. Global Matt Randolph will be here to talk all things oil and gas.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very knowledgeable. The man knows the oil and gas industry. He's been working in it for 30 years. And he actually just announced he is in a partnership now with the publication The Dispatch.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Ooh.
I just saw that on Twitter. I saw that on Twitter yesterday.
Do we have famous friends?
He's wonderful.
Yes, he is.
He can explain very complicated things related to oil and gas and energy in the U.S. And we can talk about what the presumptive president-elect has said about drill, baby, drill, and how that's going to get us out of all of our economic woes.
Which I would actually, if you're interested in doing this, go back and listen to the other interviews we've done with him. This will be our third, I believe.
Third or fourth.
And see what we've already covered because, you know, what's coming, you'll want to know about.
Absolutely. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, all of our engineers, everyone across Civic Media. Without you, absolutely nothing works. Thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy over the weekend, even just a little bit, and you have the chance to share it. News coming up next, followed by Todd Alba. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will see you Monday.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for a TGIF Friday edition of the show, a board game of the week by our own Aaron Zommers and more. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Join us on Tuesdays for Community Stories and Thursdays for Community Stories Junior, both from 5 to 6 p.m. right here on WFHR. Your host, Melissa Kay, brings together folks of all ages from our community. With history from our elders to innovations from our young people, Community Stories brings in-depth local stories you won't hear anywhere else, right here on WFHR. Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 5 to 6.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.